obey God rather than man. But again, if you don't want to sign up, don't sign up. But it's not unbiblical. It's not against the Bible to serve in the military and law enforcement and be a civil servant. But you also got to consider, if you do, then you do need to be wise about it. You do need to go into those roles with some understanding. It'd be ill-advised to not. To go into any endeavor without some understanding about some things, you need to understand that yes, you may be in a position where you would not be able to serve God in the same way as you would if you're not in one of those roles. That just comes with the territory sometimes. You may not be able to go to worship every Sunday. You may be in a place where there's not a congregation of God's people that meet. Now, sometimes the military does provide a means by which you can worship God. I'll give you an example of that. I don't know if they still do, but used to in Parris Island, which is one of the two recruit training grounds for the Marines. They provided religious services for their recruits. Now, the way they divided that was you had a building that was referred to as the Others, and you had a building that was a Protestant religious building, and then you had Roman Catholicism. And so Catholics would go to one place. If you were a recruit, you went there, and if you were in a Protestant religion, whether that be Holiness or Baptist or Methodist, you would go to the Protestant building. And if you are in a member of the Church of Christ, you would go to a building they referred to as Others, and it housed where you could worship, and the church met and worshiped, and they had the Jews in there that worshiped, and the Muslims that worshiped. But nonetheless, there was a group that came from off base and would come on base and provide services for the recruits that were members of the church. And so sometimes you can, but I say that, so you need to consider some things. And consider that it's not going to be like it would be if you're not serving in one of those capacities. And there may be things sometimes along the way that you would be asked to do that you might not understand whether or not you're able to do that. And your conscience bothers you about that. And so you just need to know if you're going to sign up, which is not wrong, but if you're going to sign up, you just need to be aware of some things. It's my point about that. And understand that your allegiance comes to God first, and if you feel like you would be hindered from being able to do what God would have you to do, then by all means, don't do it. Don't do it. But don't tell someone who is serving in those roles that they're unscriptural for doing it. One last point. I hope the lesson's helped you some. One last point that I want us to think about is at least two arguments that people make about the military, and one of which is just to simply say, I'll give you probably at least three, but one is to say, well, you know what? The government does wrong. The military does things wrong. There's taking of life. And simply are engaged in things that are wrong. Well, you know, the Bible does say in Proverbs 14, verse 34, that righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a rebuke unto any people. And so we understand that righteousness does indeed, it's a general rule in the book of Proverbs, exalt a nation, but sin is a rebuke. And yes, I understand in Psalm 12 and in verse 8, that the wicked walk on every side when the vilest of men are exalted. And so you go ahead and you put wicked men in office, don't expect things to get better. Now, that's not being political, that's just being biblical. That's what the Bible says. That the wicked are on every side when the vilest of men are exalted. And that's just not to do with our government only. But ladies and gentlemen, again, if I cannot be in these roles because of some wrong that the government might do and some things that the government might do that I don't stand with, then how is it right for me to submit to the government? How's it right for me to carry out Romans chapter 13, verse 1 and following if the government is wrong anyway? And by the way, God ordained it. He ordained civil government. That doesn't mean God condones what the government does in every area. But how would it be right then for me to submit to them? Well, I guess I'm supposed to stop paying my taxes, stop obeying the speed limit, stop obeying the various different laws that we have, because you know what? Government's wrong, so therefore I can't be a part of it. See how foolish that is? The government doesn't always get it right. In fact, we miss it many times. But that still doesn't take away from the fact that it is ordained of God. And I really like what Steve, and appreciate what Steve pointed out in the series last week, that even if we don't agree with who's in office and what they're doing, doesn't take away from the fact that I have a responsibility to submit to the government. Now that doesn't mean that I'm to do wrong. That's not the point. The point is I do what God would have me to do and submit to the government and be a good citizen and not a bad citizen. But then someone may say, well now, in the Old Testament, God said, thou shalt not kill. Therefore, I can't be in the military because guess what? Sometimes the military is out killing. Well, we've got to understand the difference between thou shalt not kill and really how it's rendered better in the New King James Version, thou shalt not murder. There's a difference in killing and murder. Killing is to take life without cause. Or murder, rather, is to take life without cause. It's really specific. Killing can be broad, irrespective of it. So it says, well, you're not to do any kind of killing. Well, somebody did wrong. I know last night I ate a burger. Somebody killed that cow. Now, wait a minute. That's not what he's talking about. He's not talking about killing animals. He's not talking about killing, which is justifiable in self-defense or the protection of others. It's not about taking life without cause, without a reason. Now, I say that because in the Bible, even though he said, thou shalt not murder, did you know that there were penalties for breaking the laws of God? For example, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. And when you refuse that, then it was the taking of life. Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, and you see the execution of a man in Numbers 15, 32 through 36, who is guilty of violating that command. Matthew 19, 18, the Lord referred to that. In Galatians 5, 19 through 21, Paul talked about murder shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And so we know there's a difference between murder and just and killing. Paul refused not to die had he been guilty of something that would have been worthy of execution. Acts 25 verse 11. Was God right when he took the life of Ananias and Sapphira? A divine example of on-the-spot discipline. Acts chapter 5. Was he right when he took the life of two sons of Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, in Leviticus 10, when they offered that which was not authorized by God? But then there's offenses again in the Old Testament that was punishable by the death penalty, punishable by death. I give you these and you need to write them down. So when anyone says it's not right, capital punishment's not right, giving seed to Moloch, Leviticus 20, verse 1. All these punishable by death. Cursing father or mother, Leviticus 20, verse 9. There will be a lot of children today that be in trouble if that were still the case. Adultery, Leviticus 20, verse 10. Lying with father's wife, Leviticus 20, verse 11. Lying with daughter-in-law, Leviticus 20, verse 12. Homosexuality, Leviticus 20, verse 13. Taking wife and mother, Leviticus 20 and then verse 14. Bestiality, Leviticus 20, verse 15 and 16. having a familiar spirit or wizard, witchcraft we talk about, Leviticus 20, verse 27. And I point all that out to ask the question, was it right of God to require that? And then wrong for Israel to carry it out? God is God and we're not. And God doesn't always view things from man's perspective. Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9 talk about that. One more little point, one more objection. I had on purpose the scripture reading from John 18 verse 36. Which if anyone were to use John 18 verse 36 to try to say that you cannot be in these roles because of violence, fighting. If they did, they were misusing the passage. John 18:36 not dealing with that. In John 18:36, Jesus is talking about, he is not talking about war necessarily. He's not talking about civil government. He's not talking about military. He's talking about the nature of the kingdom. Now, another question that was submitted that we'll do in this series is on the reign of Christ. And we'll talk more about the nature of the kingdom in that lesson. Jesus said, my kingdom, because Pilate said, look, you're saying you're a king. Are you a king? My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. And that I be not delivered to the Gentiles, but my kingdom's not hence. In other words, the Lord recognized that a physical kingdom does involve fighting. But he says, that's not my kingdom. My kingdom is not hence. He's talking about the nature of the church, of the kingdom over which he rules. And so when people go, for example, to Isaiah chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, and he talks about it had come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established, the top of the mountains, all nations shall flow into it, the word of the Lord to go forth from Jerusalem and so forth. And they won't know war anymore, but they'll beat their swords into plowshares and so forth. They said, look here, see there, no more war. You're not allowed to fight today because we're supposed to be a peaceful people. Well, I grant you, Christians are to be peaceful, and peacefully with all men if possible, and so forth. Paul wrote to those at Rome. There's no denying that. But it misses the point that's being made in Isaiah chapter 2 because he's not talking about government in that passage. He's talking about the church. He's talking about the nature of the Lord's house. And the Lord's house is the church, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. That the Lord's house is the church of God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And so Isaiah chapter 2, it cannot be used as an argument to say that, look here, the government's not supposed to do any violence. The government's not supposed to fight. Not supposed to have, he's not talking about the government. He's talking about the nature of the church in that passage. You see that point? And so those arguments are ones that we need to be ready to give an answer to an individual saying, now look here, Isaiah chapter 2 talks about that. And by the way, in John chapter 6, verse 15, the Bible says when Jesus saw that they were going to come and by force making him a king, he escaped out of the midst. He rejected that. And you've got the statement in Matthew 26, verse 52, put up thy sword. When Peter pulled out the sword and cut off the ear of the servant, Malchus, cut off his right ear. The Lord said, don't do that. That's the nature of God's people, nature of God's kingdom. Is we don't say convert or die as others do. We win them by the truth of the gospel. So I hope that the lesson, I know that there's much more that could be said. There's more that I've compiled together that could be said. That you could do a series on it. But ladies and gentlemen, the Bible does not condemn serving in the military. It doesn't condemn serving the government. It doesn't condemn being in law enforcement. Should you be here this morning, you say, preacher, I'm not a Christian, but I want to be in the church. I want to be in the kingdom of Christ, you have an opportunity to do that. And I dare not tell you how to become a Christian by doing something that you don't even read about in the Bible. I tell you, so very simply but firmly, if we do what they did, we'll be what they were. They were Christians. Not hyphenated anything, just simply a Christian. That's all I want to be. How about you? Most of you are. But should you be here this morning, you say, "Preacher, I'm not a Christian. I want to be in the Lord's church, the church of Christ. What must I do in order to do that?" Well, you do what they did in the Bible. By hearing the gospel on 10:17, believing in John 8:24, repenting of your sins, Luke 13:3-5. Confessing your faith in Christ that He is the Son of God, like the eunuch did in Acts 8:37, when he said, "I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. At that point, all of your sins will be washed away by the blood of the Lamb, Romans 1:5. You'll be a new creature in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:17. But should you be here this morning, and you have done that, but you've fallen away, you've turned your back on the Lord, not been living as you should, but you want to straighten all that up and come home, you can. Repenting of your unfaithfulness, making confession unto God in prayer. 1 John 1:9, we'll pray with you and for you. Don't delay. Come right now.